Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We are thankful and so appreciative of you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. This being first day of the week, Sunday, at 9:30 this morning, the East Abbotville Church of Christ that meets at 4777 will come together for a period of Bible study. At about 15 after 10 to 10:30, we will engage in a worship service. We will sing, we will pray, we will hear from God's Word. We will, because it is the first day of the week, remember the Lord's death and the partaking of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine that He instituted when He set forth His supper that was to be observed until He comes. And being the first day of the week, we as Christians at East Abbotville will lay by in store as God has prospered. We urge you to come and to be with us and bring your Bibles, observe the things you see and hear done, and compare that with what the Bible teaches. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we will come together for a period of worship as well. If it's not at all possible for you to make these services, then keep in mind that if you go to eastabbotville.org, on that website, you can click and see a live feed of the Bible class as well as the worship service at 9:30 and at 5 this evening, and also at 7 on Wednesday night for the Bible study period. You can, if you're more familiar with Facebook, you can go to the East Abbotville Church of Christ Facebook page, a Facebook channel. If you're more familiar with YouTube, you can go to the East Abbotville Church of Christ YouTube channel. Three ways that you have access to being able to both see and hear the Bible study and the worship period, if it's not at all possible for you to come and to be with us. Two, tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, there'll be a 30-minute live call-in radio program, Bible Crossfire. At the beginning of that program, Pat Donahue will give you his telephone number. You can call that number and speak directly to him. Give him your Bible question, and in return, expect only the Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, both AM and FM. If you're not able to pick up the radio station but have satellite radio capability, at 8 o'clock go to channel 131 on Sirius Satellite XM radio, and you can listen to Bible Crossfire. Keep all of these things in mind as the day progresses. Sometimes we think people in the first century had an advantage that we don't have when it comes to understanding the Word of God and understanding about Christ. We have to read and study and draw our conclusions. After all, they had Christ. But in the New Testament, we see that lots of people have misunderstandings about Jesus. In Matthew 22, Jesus is being questioned by the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees about the paying of taxes to Caesar. They challenge Christ's belief in the resurrection and how that it would apply to the law of Moses. And also in this chapter, the question was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And it's in verses 41 and 42 that Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Christ? You know, some of the misunderstandings was on the part of his enemies. They didn't believe his teaching, and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. They thought and they said that Christ was a gluttonous man and a winebibber in Matthew 11:19. They said that he had spoken blasphemy in Matthew 26:65. And they also said Christ was not from God because he did not keep the Sabbath in John 9:16. So we want to ask the question, what do people think about Christ in the first century? In Matthew 13:55, beginning, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? In Mark 6:3, they said that Jesus was a carpenter. Now, you know, that would have been a natural conclusion, since they lived in the time of Christ, and they saw him grow from a baby into an adult. They believed he was the son of Joseph. We know different. Maybe we have the advantage, and they are at the disadvantage. We know from what the scriptures teach that Christ was the son of Mary and not the son of Joseph, because that which Mary conceived was of the Holy Spirit. That we're told in Matthew 1:20, as well as in John's account in John 1:1-14. See, they thought Christ was the son of Joseph, but they were wrong. He was the son of God. And Peter had it right in Matthew 16:17 when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the son of the living God." But then in John 6:15, we read, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into the mountain by himself alone." You remember Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king in John 18:37, and Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." It was Paul that said in 1 Timothy 6:15 that Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why was they trying to appoint Jesus king back there in John 6? Well, verse 14 of John 6 says, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" You see, they saw the miracles of Jesus and the power that he had over nature, over sickness, and even death. And they concluded that this is the man that was prophesied of, and he can help us with a problem of oppression with Rome. You know, they were under Roman oppression, they were under Roman rule, and they naturally wanted their independence. So just as Israel of old wanted their independence from Egypt, they truly believed that Jesus was the one who could do that for them, for they'd seen his power. They thought Jesus was an earthly king. But Christ made that statement to Pilate in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the saints. But now my kingdom is not from here." See, Christ did not come to do battle with Rome, to be an earthly king, but he came, as Luke 19:10 records, to seek and save that which is lost. But in John 6:26, here we read, "Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" See, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, as we could read in those 14 verses. And with this kind of miraculous ability, some no doubt thought that Jesus could feed the hungry. But Jesus here in verse 26 tells them that they just seek him for the fish dinner. And in the same breath, he said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." And then it's in verse 53 he tells them, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And we see the results, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. See, that's not the Christ that they wanted. They misunderstood him. When they found out that he wasn't going to be a potluck supper, they turned and they walked away. But then it's in Mark chapter 6 that we read these words in verse 56. Wherever he entered in the villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged them that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. See, there were others that looked at Jesus' miracles, and they reached a wrong conclusion in regards to who they thought Jesus was. What a man. He did what medical science could not do then and cannot even do today. And he had 100% recovery rate among those that he healed. So they concluded that Christ was the answer to a better existence when it came to health and to physical well-being. It's in Luke 4, verse 40, it says, when the sun was set and all those that had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, look at verse 41. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. All right, now let's look at verse 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. You see, they didn't want him to leave town. Why? Well, because there were other sick folks that needed and wanted healing. Some may have had family or friends close by that they wanted maybe to go to and get and bring them to Christ for him to heal them. There was more healing to be done. But now let's look at verse 43 and verse 44. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogue to the Galileans. See, Christ's purpose was not to give people a better physical existence. He did not feed all of the hungry of his day. He did not heal all of the sick of his day. His purpose, he stated, was to preach the kingdom of God. The purpose of his miracles were to show that he had the power to forgive sin. It was in Luke 2, when the man was let down through the roof, that Jesus said to him in verse 5, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And when that caused a problem among the scribes that were present, Jesus then, beginning in verse 9, says this, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. Then in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, when Jesus came into the regions of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. See, Jesus wanted to know who the people thought he was, so he asked the apostles, and they told him. They thought he was one of the prophets. You know, Nicodemus had the same problem in John 3 and verse 2. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Samaritan woman at the well, she said in John 4, verse 19, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. So many people thought that Jesus was from a long line of prophets, no different than any of them. just like all of the rest. Some thought he was John the Baptist. Remember, Herod had already beheaded John. But when he heard about Christ, he made the statement in Matthew 14:2, this is John the Baptist, he's risen from the dead. John and Christ, we know, were cousins. And for that reason, they may have looked somewhat alike. Certainly they were close to the same age, and they preached the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, there were a lot of similarities, and yet in John 3:28, John says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. See, John was not Christ, and so it follows that Christ is not John. Now, you and I have our New Testaments, and we can read about Christ and not make those same kind of mistakes. We're the ones who really have the advantage, don't we? When it comes to the question Jesus asked, what do you think about the Christ? We're in a good position of knowing so that we can answer that question correctly. We know he is not the son of Joseph. He has not come to be an earthly king. He did not come to change the political landscape. His purpose was not to rid the world in his day of hunger, nor was his purpose to rid the world of sickness and disease and provide a better existence. And we know that he was not a prophet, just like all of the rest. Now, I want us to change the question just a little bit and ask, what do you think about the Church of Christ? Could it be that people today have pretty much the same thoughts about the Church of Christ as they did about Christ in the first century? Let's remind ourselves again that some thought he was the son of Joseph. Some thought he was an earthly king. His purpose, they thought, was to feed the hungry. His purpose, they thought, was to heal all that were sick and to give a better existence in this life. And they thought he was a prophet, just like all of the rest. Do you think people would have the same attitude about the church as they do about Christ? Would you? You know, the Encyclopedia Britannica, or there's a book called The Handbook of Denominations that tells us the Church of Christ was started by Alexander Campbell. And yet the scriptures teach Christ is the head of the church in Ephesians 1:22-23, and that he is the Savior of the body in Ephesians 5:23. Christ promised that he would build his church in Matthew 16:18, and he purchased the church with his blood, Acts 20:28. And yet, just as there were people who believed that Christ was the son of Joseph, which he wasn't, they believed that Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ in the early 1800s. See, they're not digging deep to see what the scriptures teach. They're just listening to what somebody tells them, or what they have read out of some secular book that had been written by men, and that's the conclusion they come to. Friends, Alexander Campbell was born September 12, 1788. And at that same time, William Rogers united with the Church of Christ at Cane Ridge, Kentucky in 1807. Alexander Campbell was only 19 years old. Plus, he didn't even come to the United States until he came with his mother when he was 21 years old. So how could Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ when William Rogers became a member of it in 1807? And Paul said to the church at Rome over 2,000 years ago, the churches of Christ salute you, in Romans 16:16. When the seed, the gospel, is planted, it brings forth Christians only. It doesn't matter who plants that seed. It could be Peter, it could be Paul, it could be Alexander Campbell, it could be you, it could be me, but it will result in the forgiveness, the remission of sins, just like it did in Acts 2:38, and the Lord will add us to his church, just as he did in Acts 2:47. Friends, the church is no more the result of Alexander Campbell or Barton W. Stone as Christ was the son of Joseph. But that's what you're going to hear because people don't know no better, and many of them really just don't care to learn any better. Now, in the first century, when people saw the power Jesus had to perform miracles, they wanted to make him king and use his power to be a solver of the social ills. You know, it's sad to say that's what people expect of the Lord's Church today. In many places, that's the change that's been going on for years to get the church more involved in the political and the social ills of our day. Does today's society have social and moral problems? Well, certainly they do. Homeless, widows, abused women, abused children, unwed mothers, and the list goes on. Well, they were the same type problems in Christ's day, too. Churches professing themselves to be churches of Christ are building and maintaining schools, orphan homes, unwed mothers' homes, and on and on and on. People that were mistaken about Christ in the first century, they're making the same mistake in regards to his church today. They look at the church as a way to divvy it all up and make sure that everybody gets a fair shake. You remember Luke 12? A man came to Jesus and asked Jesus to make his brother divide the inheritance fairly. In other words, he said, I'm not getting my fair share. Well, you remember what Jesus said. Verse 14, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? See, Christ didn't come to this world to make sure that everybody gets treated fairly, that everybody gets their fair share. And if his church today is going to be loyal to him, it's not going to get involved in trying to correct the wrongs in today's society either. But too, a lot of people at the time of Christ thought that he was a ticket to a free meal. And a lot of people today think and look at the church as a food pantry. A lot of people in the community that are hungry need to pay their rent, their light bill. Kids are starving. They've lost their jobs. Many people think that the church ought to be taking care of these folks. Food and clothes pantries, regular operating hours like the denominations are doing and have been doing, signing up people that have lost jobs and provide them with food, clothing, and shelter. Friends, in the first century, there was a famine throughout the world. We read that in Acts 11 and verse 28. And yet verse 29 says, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief throughout the world? No, that's not what the verse says. The disciples determined to send relief to everyone in Jerusalem and Antioch? No, that's not what it reads either. The disciples determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. That's what the verse says. See, the church is not to be a Red Cross, like some would like to make it be. Christ did not establish the church to be a food kitchen or to distribute coats. That's not the work he assigned the church to do. And if I have the financial means to give food to those that don't have it, or to look through my closet and find clothes to give to those that are poor, by all means, I need to do that. That's something that I can and need to do as an individual. As Christ healed the sick and cured those that were lame and blind, the people looked to him to improve the community well-being. People today think the church ought to see to the well-being of the community. You know, you hear statements like, you know, we don't have a good image in the community, or the church needs to be more community-oriented. Or we're losing our young people. You know, the church needs to do more for the young people. One time I was asked, what do you have for the young people over there at the church where you attend? What are you doing to keep your young people? And I thought about responding, do you ask what kind of carnal incentives we have to dangle in front of our young people? Because if you are, you must have a very carnally minded child. Friends, if the only way that we can interest our children in God is to dangle a basketball or a soccer ball in front of them, that's the definition of carnal. If it's not, what is it? Don't we realize that there were games and teams and sports in the first century? They had the Isthmian Games in Corinth. You know, but I don't read any place where Paul commanded Corinth to form a team and to compete with the Ephesians. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. Paul said, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. So the church must not become involved in rehabs, concerts, pizza parties, lock-ins, couples retreats, basket weaving classes, and on and on and on. If the head of the church was not in this kind of business, then his body doesn't need to be either. And then, Christ, you are no different than any of the other prophets. Oh, you know, the church of Christ, it's no different than this church over here or that church over there. The church of Christ is just another denomination like all of the rest. That's what we're hearing. Christ said, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'm going to build all of these different churches. And he didn't. If he didn't, who did? Well, man did. Is anyone willing to say that the churches that man originated are as good as the one that Christ built? And yet, that's exactly the case when people say one church is just as good as another, or join the church of your choice. Some say, you know what? I'm a member of the church down the road from here, and it's the same as the Church of Christ, except we have mechanical instruments and music, and you all don't. I'm sure you've heard that one. Remember, John the Baptist and Christ were cousins and probably had similar features and looked a lot alike, but they were not the same. No, and neither is the Lord's church and some church that's similar, with the exception of a piano, the same either. I want us to listen very carefully. It's very simple, but listen in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What does this mean? What this means is that the church is the indwelling of God's Spirit. When you have a human body and it's indwelled by a human spirit, then you have life. Remember James 2, verse 26, the body without the spirit is dead. Therefore, the body with the spirit is living. It's alive, isn't it? It has life. Without the spirit, you have a corpse. So if you have a body, a church, that was built by man, named by man, ruled and governed by man, you have a dead body, a dead church, because the Spirit of God does not dwell in it. It matters not how similar it is to the church that we read about in the New Testament. Christ was not one of many prophets. He was and is the prophet, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the head. And what we must understand is that Christ's church is not one of many denominations. It's the absence of any denominations. Time changed, but sin hasn't. And the terms of forgiveness of sins hasn't changed. Sin is the same as it is now as it was in the first century. And the terms of the forgiveness of sin is the same as it was in the first century. Friends, obey the truth. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and the Lord will add you to the same church that he added those to in the first century. Our time is up. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastafferettville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.